start over in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and before getting started, let's just have a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your son, for all that he's done for us, and for the ways he's blessed us. We thank you for bringing each one of us here. We pray that you would be with us now as we turn to your word and open it. We pray that you would give us understanding and help us take to heart the things of your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. John chapter 10, and what we want to think about this morning is three reasons why the Lord Jesus is the best person to listen to on three of life's most common questions, okay? So the first one, how do I live life well, right? Lots of people will give you life advice out there, right? They'll say, do this, don't do that, right? And we want to think about the Lord Jesus as the best person to listen to this on this. Another one, what happens after death? What goes on with the death thing, right? And we're going to see that the Lord Jesus is uniquely qualified to talk about this. And the third one, you know, what's right and what's wrong? We as humans have different opinions on what's right and what's wrong. And we want to think about how the Lord is also the best person to talk about this topic. So in John chapter 10, we'll start here and we'll read just verse 27. The Lord Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Here, my sheep hear my voice. And this is what this is like the big difference between the believer and the unbeliever. The believer listens to the Lord Jesus' voice, and the Lord tells us a lot of things in his word, and he's the person to listen to. And we want to think about this, these questions now. The first is, how do I live life well, right? You don't have to be a believer to ask yourself this question. In fact, I'm pretty sure almost every human thinks about this. You know, regardless of the century you're born in or where you're born or what you know, this is something we think about. How do I live life well? Like, what's the best life advice, right? And people will tell you all kinds of things, right? Like, watch the debt thing, right? You know, don't go into this profession. Go into that profession. Don't marry a person who does this, right? There's all kinds of advice out there. Who's the best person to listen to when it comes to life advice? And I'm going to say it's the person who created life. It's the creator, right? And this is the Lord Jesus. Nobody else created everything. He's the one who made this life. He's the one who gave us all life. He's the one who knows how it works better than anyone. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a corn maze. Once in a while, my kids talk me into going into one of those. And, you know, you're in the corn maze and, you know, you see the same stalk of corn for the sixth time and you're like, how am I ever going to get out of this place, right? Imagine you're going into a corn maze and you can bring one person with you. And, you know, who are you going to pick to go with you? Well, if you want to get out of there, a good choice would be the person who made the corn maze, right? They're probably the person that can guide you through that and get you out of there in a timely manner. You could think also of, think of a computer game, you know? My son, he's playing a computer game. He doesn't know how to beat a level. He's like, Dad, can I see your phone? He gets on YouTube and sees how to get past that thing and beat it, right? When I was young, we didn't have that. We actually had to sit there and like beat our head against the wall until we finally figured out how to get past it. But you know, with computer games, the person who programmed it can tell you every secret to the game, right? There's no secret that they don't know. They know how to play that game and play it well. Likewise with the Lord Jesus, he's the one that created life here, right? He's the one that can tell us how best to live it. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 2. I'll start at verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And what does he say about his Son? Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Here, the Lord Jesus is the one who made the worlds. Go to verse 10. Speaking of the Son once again, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will roll them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. Here, the Lord Jesus is the one who laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning. He's the one that made everything. He's the one that knows how to navigate life best. He's the one we should listen to. You know, at my company, there's this guy who founded it in 1997 originally. And in 2008, at the end of 2008, he sold it to Boeing. And I started in 2009, so I missed the gravy train. But these guys they sold it for like over $300 million, right? So, and this guy had more than half of it. Most people do nothing useful again in their life if they get that kind of money. But this guy goes and he starts another company like 2 years later, right? And he got some select people to go join him from the company. And the leadership that was left at my company was like making all these arguments about why this is a stupid plan. And I remember my one coworker was like, who are we really going to listen to? The guy who already has a nine-figure sum in his bank account or the guys that don't, right? Like who are you going to listen to here? Like, who's a better person to listen to? Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 3, we read of the Lord Jesus, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. You know, down in D.C., you know, I live right by Washington, D.C. in Maryland, really close. You know, down in D.C., there's this mansion down there called the O Street Mansion. And what it is, I guess the architect, if I have this right, the architect who built the Capitol, this was his residence. And it's four townhouses in a row, and he connected them all. And he put all these secret passages in between the townhouses. So he, you know, did this. So some eccentric people own it now, and I guess it's a hotel, but it's also a place you go there, and you pay to get in or something, or I don't even know. Yeah, I guess you probably pay to get in. And you just walk around and you're supposed to find the secret passages, right? So, you know, there might be like some mirror and you pull on it and it opens and it's a passage to somewhere else. There's like secret rooms. A lot of them are not that big. There's all these little secret compartments. But my wife took me there, right? You know, being from out of town, she's like actually pays attention to what's downtown. I lived there my whole life. I'm like, I don't know about this stuff. But she's, we get married. She's like, oh, let's go. This sounds cool. But, you know, there's some question as to how many secret passages there are, right? And how many secret doors and secret compartments there are in this mansion. You know, the internet claims, some people think it's like 70 up to 100, right? Who actually knows? It's the guy who built it, right? He's the best person to tell us how many secret passages there are in these four townhouses that are connected there. Why? Because he's the creator. He knows it. He's the one that can comment on it best. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15, we read, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. The Lord Jesus is the one who created all things. He's the one we should listen to on how to live this life we have best, because he made it, you know. And we would be here for a long time if we talked about everything the Lord Jesus said, right, as life advice, right, on how to live your life. But let's just think of a few things, and we don't need to turn to these passages, but we can think, for instance, the Lord Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? This is not standard life advice that you'll hear in the wide world, right? Generally, don't give away everything you have, right? Like, guard your stuff. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We could think of the Lord, how often should I forgive? 7 times? No. 70 times 7, right? You're not going to often hear that in the world. Forgive 70 times 7 times. Yet the Lord tells us this, right? His advice is different than you're going to hear out there. And yet he tells us this is the best way to live, right? He tells us many things like this. Let's move on to the second point, the question of death, right? This is something we as humans ask ourselves. What happens after we die, right? What happens after we die? Imagine that you need some life-saving surgery, right? If you need life-saving surgery, you don't want just anyone performing this. If someone comes up and says, hey, I've studied surgery on YouTube. I've never done it before in my life, but I've watched a lot of YouTube videos on it. I'll go ahead and do it on you. This is probably not the person that you're going to pick. Who are you going to pick? You want the person who's done it before. Not just that. You want the person who's done it successfully before. If someone's like, I tried this surgery and the patient died, that's probably not the person you're going to pick, right? Like, you want the person, I've done this before and the outcome was good, right? We can think about this also when it comes to what happens after we die. Who do you want to trust on this topic? You probably want to trust the person who's actually died and come back, right? Think about this world. There's nobody else who is... There are other people who died and the Lord raised. You see this in the Bible. But the Lord Jesus is unique in that he died and he's alive forevermore, right? He died and he's alive today. And you can't find anyone else who has done this in our world, right? Just like nobody else created the world, there's one person who did that. There's nobody else who has died and is alive forevermore. This is the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus alone. I used to live with this eccentric guy. He's really smart, but he's really eccentric. He's now a professor at Oklahoma State University. We have an Oklahoma guy, right? So he's down there. But, you know, he's eccentric. And, you know, what did he do? He did stuff like he spent a long time training to break the world pogo stick distance record, right? And he would just, like, jump on his pogo stick. He was down at Virginia Tech at the time. This is years ago. And he had, contacted Guinness Book of World Records. And they were going to come and witness this when he was ready. But he had this problem that every pogo stick he used, he would break it because he used it so much training. And he would train for hours a day, and he never actually did this. And I found this because I was like, hey, can I use your pogo stick that's sitting in the house here? And he's like, well, it's broken. All my pogo sticks are broken. Let me tell you the story. And I'm like, okay, that's abnormal, right? But he did a lot of abnormal stuff like this. You know, I mean, one other story with this guy, I go out to dinner with him. It's me and him and, like, two other guys that lived with us. You know, there were five of us that rented this house together. So four of us go out to dinner, right? And on the way back, like, we're at the stoplight and, the car next to us, everyone has, like, these purple mohawks. Like, there's this kind of person. There's, like, three guys there. And they're, like, looking over at the car waving. They won't stop doing this. And I'm like, guys, cut. But this guy and one of the other guys in the car keep doing this. And, you know, we're driving along after the light turns green. The car tried to run us off the road, and they were, like, hitting our vehicle with belts and throwing drinks on it. And, you know, and it's like we stopped, they stopped. They wouldn't go. And eventually, somehow, we lost them. But, of course, this guy had his license plate said Dr. UAV, which, you know, UAV is the term for the drone planes, right? And we're like, this is the most memorable license plate you could have. So we had to park in the backyard when we got home. But anyways, he's a really smart guy, right? And he was like an aerospace engineer, PhD student. And he's like, I love to get on airplanes and ride and tell everyone about my aerospace engineering studies and then start telling them all the reasons that the airplane is going to crash, right? And this is like what he would do when he was on a plane. Like, some people strike up a conversation, try to share the gospel. He tries to convince them this plane we're on is going to crash, right? So anyways, why is he even credible? Because he was an aerospace engineer, right? You gotta, it gave him credibility to talk about airplanes falling out of the sky. Only, I don't know, not really, but, you know, he thought it did. So he would do this, right? But anyway, When it comes to what happens after death, the best person you can talk to is the person who's died and is alive again. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. You know, in our world, a lot of people tell you a lot of things, right? There's a lot of false religions out there, right? There's a lot of theories on what happens after death. Who's the person that you should listen to? The person who's died and come back, not the person who hasn't. You want to talk to the person who's done it. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Here, the Lord Jesus is the one who's tasted death. He's tasted death for everyone. He's a good person. He's the best person to listen to on this topic. What happens after you die, right? What happens after you die? Go to Revelation chapter 1. And read from verse 17. John's writing, and he says, "And when I saw him being the Lord Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" And notice in verse 18, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death." Here, "I am he who lives and was dead." He says here, "I was dead. I was dead, but now I live." And he also says, "I'm alive forevermore." And, you know, in the Bible, you know, I guess you have the complicated case of Enoch was just taken. Did he die? Who knows, right? Elijah was taken in the fiery chariot. Did he die? Who knows, right? But here, the Lord Jesus alone died and is alive forevermore. You could say those other two, well, if they're still alive forevermore, they didn't die. The Lord Jesus died and is alive forevermore. There's other people in the Bible, such as Lazarus. Jesus raised him from the dead. He was dead and he was alive, but not forevermore, right? Lazarus then lived for some time and passed away again and died again. The Lord Jesus, to date, is the one person who is dead and is alive forevermore. He's the person that's qualified to talk about death, because he's been there, right? You don't want to listen to someone who hasn't been there. When I was in college at University of Maryland, and this is probably like, actually I can, this is like 2006, Halloween 2006, right? Chipotle started this thing where if you dress like a burrito, you got a free burrito. And this thing is long gone now, but this was the first year they ever did it. And I'm like doing my homework with my friend in my dorm room, and his phone keeps ringing and people keep telling him, "Come down to Chipotle, you can get a free burrito." And we're like, there's no way, like this is not happening, right? And he keeps getting calls, and finally we're like, he tells this one person that's calling him, "Okay, come back up to the dorm room and bring a burrito with you that you got free. And if you do that, then we'll come down and we'll go try this thing." Sure enough, the guy comes up with the free burrito. Once we actually saw the burrito, we were like, okay, this is real, right? We didn't believe him at first. We're like, leave us alone. We're trying to do our homework. But we're like, this is real, because he came back with the burrito. So he and I went down there, and, you know, you just had to like put aluminum foil on your arm or something. The trash can's like overflowing with aluminum foil outside Chipotle. So we just grabbed some, put it on, went in there. And we got our free burritos, right? But we weren't going to believe this story until someone came back, right? Until someone came back with the burrito. Other than that, we're like, we're trying to do our homework. Leave us alone. Same with the Lord Jesus. He's come back from death. He's someone that we can listen to on this topic. Go to Revelation chapter 2 and read from verse 8. "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, 'These things says the first and the last, who is dead and came to life.'" The Lord Jesus is the one who is dead and he came to life, right? He's the person that we can listen to on this topic. Why? He was dead and came to life. And we have no one else in this universe like that, right? Nobody else has died and come to life and is alive forevermore. And this is the best person we can look to and listen to when it comes to this topic. And, you know, It's great that we have so many things that the Lord said in his word, right? We have the words of the Lord Jesus recorded for us. We have a bunch of them, right? He's the person to listen to on this topic, not someone who hasn't done it. Go to John chapter 11. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Here, the Lord Jesus speaking on the topic of death. He's the person that we should listen to when it comes to this. Now, let's think of a third one here. Right and wrong. We as humans struggle with this issue, right? We don't always agree on this. There are different opinions on what's right and what's wrong, right? Some things almost everyone thinks is wrong. Like, you can't just go murder someone. And then there's, like, you know, the whole spectrum where, you know, is it morally wrong to own too big of a house or something, right? Like, some people will be like, yeah, that's wrong. Or here's maybe a better one. You see the bumper sticker, meat is murder, right? There's people out there that are like, if you eat meat, you are a murderer. Like, this is morally wrong, right? There's differing opinions on what's right and what's wrong in this world. Who do you listen to? Who's the authority on this? And I want to think the person to listen to is the person who makes the final judgment. Go to John chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Now notice here, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Now, one great thing about college is you're allowed to skip class if you want to, right? Like, I'm not standing up here like I did this all the time, but I like having the right, right? I've gone to classes the first day before and they're like, I'm going to take attendance, and I just don't come back to that class, switch classes, right? Like, who do you think you are? This is college. We don't have to be here, right? And once again, I almost always had perfect attendance. I just don't like the idea, right? Like, you are allowed to skip. Like, don't, that to me is like the sign of a bad professor. They're going to take attendance and, like, what else are they going to do? Like, I'm not putting up with this guy, right? But, you know, when it comes to skipping class, there's one day that you absolutely never skip. You never skip this day. It's the day where the professor's like, I'm going to talk about what we're covering on the exam, right? You don't want to miss that day. Why? He's going to tell you how you're going to be judged, and you don't want to miss that day of class. All the other days, like, okay, varying degrees of importance. But that day, that's the day you have to be there. And, you know, he's the authority. If you have a TA who's like, I don't think this topic will be on the exam, well, it might be, it might not. He's not the authority. If the professor who's writing the exam says, this topic is not going to be included in this exam, then, okay, great. I don't have to study that stuff, right? You can throw it out, you can rest easy. Why? He's the one that's making the exam. He's the one that's judging what you learned and what you didn't learn. He can tell you this. The same way with the Lord Jesus. You want to listen to the one who's ultimately going to judge you when it comes to what right and wrong is. And we can think of the Lord Jesus. You know, he's the Son. All judgment has been committed to the Son, right? He's the one who's going to make the judgments. And, you know, when it comes to him being the Son, he's also the one, like, knows what the Father is going to do. Why? Because he's the Son, right? One time when I was a kid, I was, I had this friend, right? And he lived up the street from me, and his dad was kind of a loose cannon, right? But we never saw him as kids. We never saw his dad not drinking alcohol. Like, this is nonstop. Like, he didn't seem to be super drunk, and he's, like, driving and everything, but, you know, we never saw him without a can of beer in his hand, right? He's just constantly drinking, right? And we were all scared of him because he would like shout at us, right? Like you do anything he doesn't like, he would just like shout at you, right? So we all avoided him, right? So anyways, we got to be teenagers, and he bought this property. Their family bought this property, you know, I don't know, half an hour away from us, and they were like building a house, right? I guess before they built the house, the first thing he did was he started to build fences around his property. It was like a 10-acre lot, and people used to ride their horses through there, and he didn't like that. So he's like building this fence. They also used to ride their four-wheelers on this property. So he's like, I got to shut this down. So he builds this fence around the property. And one day we're like sitting on the porch of my friend's house, and his dad's out with his uncle at the property, and they come back, and they're like in a rage. And he goes inside and he grabs a bunch of guns and puts them in the back of his truck and he drives back up there. And he said, someone tore down my fence. I'm going back up there, right? So we're like, okay. Later we found out what went down that day, kind of, because we were playing paintball on that property, right? You know, he said, yeah, you guys can go play paintball there. So we're going there. We're, you know, getting ready to play paintball. And this, you know, we're teenagers. This teenage boy comes up to us. He's like, you guys are in mortal peril. Go back. Don't do it. Do not enter that man's property. And we're like, what? He's like, he pulled a gun on me. He like held me up at gunpoint and threatened to like blow my head off. Like, don't go on this man's land. And we're like, you know, thanks for your concern, but we're good because the son is right here. This is the guy's son. Like, he's not going to shoot us. Like, he might shoot you. I would stay off. He's not going to shoot us, right? Because we're there with the son. We're not going to face judgment. Because we're with the Son. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus, right? You want to be with the one, you know, if you're with the Son, you're not going to face judgment, right? So anyways, let's now turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and, you know, we've thought about this. The Lord is the one that can give us good advice for life because he created life, right? You can't find a better person to give you life advice than the person who created life. He knows best. Also, when it comes to the question of what happens after death, it's the Lord who has died and is alive forevermore. You can't get a better person to listen to on this topic than someone who's been there and successfully come back from the dead. You know, you're asking, how do I make sure that I'm okay after I die? It's good to talk to the person that it has been okay after they died, right? And also, when it comes to right and wrong and how we're going to be judged, we want to listen to the person who's making the judgment. We want to listen to the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that's making the judgment. Go to Hebrews 2, verse 1, and in Hebrews, the author argues, we need to listen to the Lord Jesus, right? That's one of the punchlines from the book. We need to listen to him. I'm going to read from verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the words spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Here, we must give the more earnest heed of the things that the Lord Jesus has spoken. He's the person to listen to. We need to give heed to what he says. Go to chapter 3. Verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness. Don't harden your hearts if you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. He's the person we should listen to. Go to verse 15. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Go also to chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to start in the middle. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, right? Don't harden your hearts against the voice of the Lord Jesus. The Lord is qualified like no one else to talk to us about life's biggest questions. He's the person to listen to. You know, a lot of voices out there, none of them can compete with the Lord Jesus, right? There is no one else who created this world. There's no one else who's died and is alive forevermore. There's no one else who's going to make all judgments in the world. It's the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus alone. So I'm going to leave us with that this morning as we think about the Lord Jesus, right? He's the person to listen to in life. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the ways he's uniquely qualified to speak to us on so many of life's most important questions. We thank you for his willingness to come to earth, to die, to be the payment for our sins. And we thank you that for all the things he tells us in his word that we can pore over and study and learn from. We thank you for who he is and all that he's done. In his name we pray. Amen.